Tomorrow at the crack of dawn, sailors, rowers, paddlers will cast off from Port Townsend, Washington on a 750-mile marathon journey up the fabled Inside Passage to Ketchikan, Alaska. It's the third edition of the annual Race to Alaska, and the rules are simple. All craft must be human-powered. So sailboats, kayaks, and this year for the first time, stand-up paddleboarders. Tom Bonsi of Here Now contributor Northwest News Network starts our look with three paddlers.
There's some really big water between here and Alaska,
and
the paddleboard is not very protected. Can it be done safely?
Yeah, I definitely feel that it can be done safely.
That's paddleboarder Erdogan Kirak of Bellingham, Washington. He entered the Race to Alaska on the urging of his friend Luke Burritt. They plan to paddle together the entire course, all 750 miles, on separate 17.5-foot boards.
We don't want to die. I mean, of course, what we are doing is a little nutty, but no, we're not looking at dying.
Burritt says he was inspired to try something no one has achieved before on a paddleboard.
My life kind of is adventure. I've immersed myself in it. Climbing guide and paddleboard instructor who lives in a van. That is what I do. I kind of live for being outdoors and the adventure.
The Race to Alaska has two basic rules: no motors and no support crews. A race co-founder once compared the Maritime Marathon to the Iditarod sled dog race, but with a chance of drowning, or being eaten by a bear, or run over by a freighter. The custom-built paddleboards Burritt and Kirak will stand aboard look like surfboards that have been stretched to be longer and narrower.
Like I said, we've got 28 tie-downs over the entire thing. But this is our main tie-down location for our forward gear.
Which includes lightweight dry suits, one water filter, mosquito-proof hammocks, bear spray, just in case, and 3 to 4 days of food at a time.
We're also planning on trying to do as much scavenging and foraging as we can.
For seaweed or shellfish. The heavy swells in the Columbia River Gorge east of Portland, Oregon, is one of the places where they trained.
You're paddling, 50 feet from your buddy, and all of a sudden you're like, where'd he go? Because one of the swells didn't swallow him up, but is too tall and you just can't see over it. And it's super fun to go do something like that. And you have the right equipment on, so you do feel safe.
Kirak declined to estimate a race finish time, other than to say the team aims to average about 35 miles per day. That means they're not in it for the $10,000 top prize or the second place award of a set of steak knives. There is a third paddleboarder entered in the race. Carl Kruger of Orcas Island, Washington, is making his second solo attempt at the Race to Alaska. He plans to sustain himself mainly on high-calorie food pellets, along with some protein shakes and energy bars and gels. Race to Alaska co-founder Jake Beatty says the organizers carefully vetted the seafaring skills of the stand-up paddleboarders and the crews of a few other even smaller craft in the race.
Generally, we have a high degree of skepticism around paddleboarders. In fact, when we were starting this race 3 years ago, we looked at each other and said, well, one thing's for sure, we're never going to let a paddleboard into the race. And this year, of course, we let three in.
This year's Race to Alaska has 41 entries in all. A colorful assortment of additional sail and human-powered craft joined the flotilla for the initial qualifying segment, now dubbed the Proving Ground, from Port Townsend to Victoria, Canada. The starting gun fires at dawn's early light tomorrow. For Here and Now, I'm Tom Bonsi in Olympia, Washington.